Okay, we're continuing in Masechet Sanhedrin Perek Chelek, the seventh wide line on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, with a statement from Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar says, Kol bayis she'ein divrei Torah nishmaim balayla, eish ochalto. Any house where the words of Torah are not heard at night, a fire will consume either it or him. It's a machlokes. It's a debate. Rashi says the fire will consume the person. The Maral says it will consume the house because the house will be defined as a non-Torah house. Rav Yonasan ben Luniel says that any bias shel menes b'choshech, any house that's in the dark, and eino madlik ner lilmod, and it doesn't. There's no Torah. There's no candle that to be lit to learn Torah to its light. So what's halacha? Madi no tochlu eish lo nafuach. Then a fire that will not be consumed will burn it. That's the Gemara continues and says shenemar kol choshech tamun litzvunav tochlu eish lo nupach yera sarid ba'alo. So says that any all darkness that's hidden litzvunav and litzvunav to that which is hidden. And there was any darkness, tamun litzvunav, tochlu eish lo nupach, meaning that any night which is tamun, which is sort of hidden, and it's for litzvunav, which is hidden, any night which the darkness is hidden, litzvunav refers to it's hidden from the secrets of Torah. In other words, there is no Torah at night. So then a fire that doesn't need fanning. Eish lo nupach, that doesn't nafuach, that doesn't need fanning, meaning a fire of Gehenna, so that will consume either the person or the house, and then and this will happen to what yera sarid balo, so that that it's bad in his eyes, and it says yera sarid balo ein sarid al tamar chacham, that it's bad in his eyes. So a Talmud Chacham in his tent. He doesn't want a Talmud Chacham in his tent. And he said to Pasuk, Shenemar, Uvasrid Mesher Shem Kara. It's a Pasuk that Sarid is referred to a Torah scholar. In other words, that this person or this house that doesn't want a Talmud Chacham in his house, so the fire will consume him. Now, why do we want Torah to be studied at night? So the Marashah says it's very practical. He says that during the daytime, You're working, so you can't learn during the day. So when are you free? At night. So at night, you obviously have to spend time learning Torah to show your priorities. Also, he writes that during the day, it's very noisy. There's a lot going on, a lot of people, so it's very hard to concentrate at night. And then it's clear, there's not a lot of noise going on, so it's much easier to study Torah. So a very practical reason, at night's a good time to study Torah. The Rambam also writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel Lachim Gimel, says even though there's a mitzvah to learn during the day and the night, ein adam lomed rov chachmasa b'layla, a person only studies most of his wisdom at night. So the Rambam writes, therefore, mi shiratza liskos becheter Torah, someone who wants to merit the crown of Torah, yizar b'chol yilosav, should be careful during the night. V'lo yavod, lo yaved afilu echad mehem b'shina, v'achilu shtia v'sicha v'yotzi b'hem. Shouldn't waste the night away with sleep, with eating and drinking, and just frivolous conversation. El b'talmud Torah v'divrei chacham. Spend your nights learning Torah and being engaged in wisdom. And he says, psukim of kumi roni balayla, wake up and sing at night in the rina of Torah. It's the song of Torah. And he brings other psukim that indicate that if you study Torah at night, it's very beautiful and you'll get the chut shel chesed. You get the thread of kindness to continue during the day as well. Okay, so, and he also mentions about, then the Rav Elazar continues in the Gemara. He says, V'amar Rav Elazar, kol she'ena mahana tamun chacham min chasav, ein ro'a sim bracha olam. Anyone who does not give benefit, take care of tamun chacham from his property, he doesn't see a simon bracha, he doesn't see a blessing. Ain't sorry la achlo. There's no sorry la achlo. Can lo yochel tuvo. So what does that mean? Ain't sorry el tamin chacham. Tamin chachamim. So if there's no tamin chacham that he's feeding, right? Shenemar asum la shem kara. So he's saying then he won't be blessed. So what's this idea of supporting Talmid Chachamim? The Marsha says, if you support Talmid Chachamim, you're supporting Torah. So and the Marsha says, we're talking about someone who's not a Talmid Chacham. He doesn't occupy himself in Torah. So at the very least, you should support Torah. How do you support Torah if you're not a Talmid Chacham, if you're not learning Torah? If you're supporting Talmid Chacham, you're giving from your property. He says, it's a pasuk, Eitz Chaim Hin L'Machazikim Bo. Torah is a tree of life to those who grab onto it. It doesn't say La'oskim Bo, but it says L'Machazikim Bo, someone who upholds, strengthens Torah. Torah's Chaim says we have a precedent with Yosef HaTzadik. And he says that we see that the Hashem blessed the Beis HaMitzri because of Yosef, because he was with Yosef. So because when he was in the house of the Mitzri, also he cites with Yaakov Avinu, with Lavan, that Hashem blessed Lavan because of Yaakov Avinu. So this is not simply supporting Torah, but if you support a Talmid Chacham, then you're going to be blessed, because we see examples in the Torah that people support Talmid Chacham, that they themselves were blessed. But another reason for this also, that the Rambam, sorry, in Hilchos Deos Perek Vav Halacha Beis, says the idea of being Mahanet, providing benefit to Talmid Chachamim, is connected to the idea of mitzvah asili dabek be chachamim be tamidim k'tei lima b'maseihem. It's a mitzvah to cling to tamidim chachamim, to learn from their deeds. Says ubo tidbak, should cling to Hashem. How can you cling to Hashem? How can you cling to Shechina? But it means to cling to tamidim chachamim. Says therefore, a person should try to marry they should marry the daughter of a tamid chacham. He should marry his daughter to a tamid chacham, to eat and drink with tamidim chachamim, and to do business with, to help a Talmid Chacham do business, to give them business and pragmatia, to take care of them. Why? So you connect with them, so you can learn from them. So is it a din in supporting Torah if you can't learn Torah yourself, or is it a din in connecting with Talmid Chacham so that you're going to learn from them? The Gemara continues and says, anyone doesn't leave bread on his table, he will not see a Siman Bracha at all. I mean, if there's no leftover to your food, so you're not going to receive any bracha. What's this idea? And then what's this idea of leaving bread on the table? So there are four main reasons why you're obligated to leave bread at the end of your meal. Rashi says because you leave over bread, because if a poor person comes asking for food, you'll have something to give to him. The Zohar says that if a person benches at the end of the meal, he's blessed by Hashem. So in order for the blessing to materialize, it needs to take hold of something that physically already exists. So we find that by Elisha, that Elisha and a woman who was a descendant, the Isha Shunamit, where Elisha asked her to bring a jug of oil in order for Hashem's blessing to come to fruition. He needs the bracha on something. So when you're benching, you want the bracha to be on something, so you leave some food over. The Levush explains with the bread on the table during benching, so that it was evident to all of us, to everyone, that we are thanking Hashem for the food and the sustenance that He provides us. And Levush adds another reason, based on our Gemara, based on Rashi and our Gemara, that having leftover bread on the table demonstrates how generously Hashem provides us with sustenance to the extent that we have leftovers. So this seems to be that it's good to leave over bread. However, the Gemara also says, Rav Elazar called Misharp Titim al Shulchano Kilo Oved Avodah Zarah. They leave over pieces of bread just like you're worshiping idols. Shedemar Ha'orchim Lagad Shulchan Malim Limani Mimsach. That the idolaters that they called God, that they would leave a table full of food and drink before this God, and also this Avodah Zarah's name is many. They'd fill cups of sweet libations, drinks. So it seems that if you leave over food, then it's Avodah Zarah, it seems. So the Gemara answers, Lokash, it's not a question. Ha, the Ika Shlema Bade, and Ha, the Leka Shlema Bade. So if you're leaving a full, if after you finish your meal, you bring a whole loaf of bread and you place it on the table with different pieces of bread, so then that apparently is like idolatrous. That apparently people, idolaters do. But when Rabbi Lazar says that you should leave some bread as a siman bracha, that's where you don't place a whole loaf of bread on the table. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Or HaChaim Siman Kuf Pei Sifim Aleph and Beis, it says number one is you shouldn't remove the bread until after Birkas HaMazon, and If you don't leave bread on your table, you don't see siman bracha. But he says you shouldn't place a whole loaf of bread and put it on the table. And if you do, then it seems like it's idolatrous. The Mishnah Berurah cites all these four different reasons. He says it's recognizable to why do you leave bread? So it's recognizable to Hashem, everyone, that you're blessing Hashem on His goodness, that you prepared food, and also that the bracha of that will descend on us when we're benching, it should go on something like the pot, the oil, the jug of oil of Elisha. And the Mishnah Berurah said she leaves some bread over so that if the poor person comes to the door, and also you're giving thanks to Hashem on look how much food he has, he gave you, that you even have leftovers. So we have all these different reasons for this halacha of leaving over bread. The Rav Elazar continues, and he says, Amar Rav Elazar, more statements of Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Elazar, kol machli b'dibur, anyone who changes his words, that it doesn't appear like that kilo oved avodah zarah. It's like if you change your words, so it's like you're worshiping idolatry. And what's his proof? What's his hint to this? We see in the case of Ksiv Hacha, it says by the story of Yaakov and Esav, when Rivka asked Yaakov to lie to get the brachos, so Yaakov was concerned about, you see, bane of kimetatea, I'm going to be like mitatea. And the Ksiv Hacha, it says when it comes to avodah zarah, hevel hema maaseh tatuim, the word mitatea is connected with avodah zarah, with idolatry. So the In fact, the so how does lying deal with how does that connect to idolatry? And the point is that even, and the Marsha points out here that it says machli b'dibura, that means that even, it doesn't say call meshaker, anyone who lies. Even if you're machli b'dibura, even if you're someone who's not fully truthful, even a white lie, that still can lead to something bad, can lead to worse situations, because it's a I think Chazal are saying here that it's a basic fundamental, it's like a core value. There are many values that we have, but this is something that's connected to that lying. It's connected to avodah zarah, meaning can lead you down the wrong path. It's such a core fundamental value. The Sefer Karm of Yosef Alba writes the following. He tells a story that there was this, that one of the Chachamim, that there was a guy who was an armed bandit, and he was a Baal Aveira. And he said, I want to do tshuva, but I can't. What I can't do, it's such a heavy burden. So the Chacham says, okay, I want you to accept upon yourself one mitzvah. What is that? He said, just tell the truth. So what happened? So he said, I'll accept to tell the truth. So what happened? Once this armed bandit was going with other people, he was about to kill someone, and someone met him and he said, where are you going? And then this armed bandit, remember, he said he accepted to tell the truth, and he told this guy where he was going. So then he said, whoa. And then another guy met him and he said, where are you going? And he also told him, we're about to kill this guy. So he said, oh my gosh, now there are two witnesses who are going to know what I'm doing. It's going to be bad. So you know what? I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't kill someone now. I shouldn't kill this person. It happened apparently many times where people were asking him what he was going to do and he was going to engage in bad behavior. So he had to tell them the truth. So because of this, he changed his path. So telling the truth is really leads you. If you're telling the truth, it leads you on the right path. If you don't, it can lead you to really on a bad path. The Gemara continues and says, "The Amar Avelazar says, call me stakel be'erva, anyone who looks at erva, nakedness. So then, kashan ineris. So it's first of all, it's two lashonos in Rashi. One says that the concern is looking at erva. One says thinking about erva. And when he says kashan ineris, so it either means that." When he's intimate, there'll be a lack of potency in his aver, in his private area. And some say, another lashon Rashi is that he's going to have problems with fertility. Shenemar Ariyad, and he says the pasuk, Shenemar Ariyad Teor Kashtecha. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, La'olam heve kavel. Should be someone who is humble, v'kayem, and through that, you will survive. Should be humble. And Rashi points out, if you're humble, then people won't see your flaws. If you're someone who's always ostentatious, look at me, look at me, look at me, then people will look at you and they'll see all your flaws and it won't be good for you. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, Af ana nami tinina. I also learned this idea about being humble because when it comes to the idea of tsaras on the house. So, what's the idea of the tsaras on the house? So, the Gemara says that bias afel, let's say a dark house, ain't poskim lo chalonos liros nigo. That you don't open the windows to see its blemishes. So for tsaras, to see if there's tsaras in the house, If the house is dark and you can't, because it's dark, you can't see the tzaras, it doesn't have tzaras. But if there are windows, if it's a lighthouse, in other words, you're looking by house, look at my house. If it's a light, if it's very showy, there's light and it's bright. So then the Kohen will see the flaws. That's the whole point. If you're dark, if you're humble, then people, you're not ostentatious. People won't see your flaws. But if you're someone who's always very showy, then people will look at you more, so they may see your flaws. So we should be humble. The Amar Rav, and so we see from here Shmamina. Shmamina, we see from here that a person who humbles himself, so it's gonna cause him to live longer, cause him to good things, because people aren't gonna, give him an eye in horror, look negatively towards him. Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshia. Rav Tevi said the name of Rav Yoshia. Ma'ayiksev wasn't me when the pasuk says, Sha'ol ve'etzer rechem eretz lo sava mayim. So there's a connection about, there's a connection between things that if these things have a lot and they're never satiated from it. So I mentioned Sha'ol, the netherworld, etzer, someone who, someone ve'etzer rechem and eretz, so lo sava mayim. So the netherworld and the rechem, the womb, and land, so they're never going to be satiated. So ella lo malach ma rechem machnis umotzi avshol machnis umotzi. So we see all these things that, like, there's Sheol, that no matter how many people are buried, so the Sheol will take, the netherworld will continue to take more and more corpses or neshamos. Etzerechem, no matter how many times people are intimate, they keep on being intimate. They're never going to be satiated, satisfied. And also the land, no matter how much water falls in the land, so they'll always collect more land. But what's they'll collect more water. What's the connection between Sheol and Etzerechem, the Sheol and the Rechem? So just like Rechem, so it brings in the Zera, the man's Zera, and it brings forth a child. So also Sheol, the ground, the Kever, will bring in a person when he's dead, and he will bring him forth in Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara says, "Valo Kavachomer." It's actually a Kavachomer. Ma Rechem Shemachnisim Bo Bichashai. So when a couple is intimate, so the woman, so she accepts the man's Zera quietly. Motzim Menu Bekoli Kolos. When she brings forth a child, it's very noisy. Everyone's jumping up in joy, and they're very excited. So Sheol Shemachnisim Bekolos. So the grave that brings forth the death, that brings in the dead body with a lot of sounds because everyone's crying. And Din Shemotzim Menu Bekoli Kolos. Certainly when it brings forth and there's Tchias HaMesim, the dead come back to life, certainly there's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be a lot of singing and dancing, and everyone's going to be very happy. What's going on here? What's the connection? Why? What's this Kavach Homer all about? So we saw earlier that there's this idea that a few dapim ago we talked about the daughter of the Caesar trying to prove of Tchias HaMesim, and she's trying to prove, I don't know if this is a scientific proof, but what's the point? The point is that we're saying that just like birth, the transition, how, like, we think that birth is such a, it's a natural phenomenon, but it's natural. We can understand the science behind it and how babies are born. When we think that Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of dead, is something miraculous, doesn't make any sense, and it's so far-fetched. What we're saying here is, no, that just like birth, it's also miraculous. Since birth is something which happens, it's natural, so to resurrection of dead, even though it seems like so miraculous, it's also natural. Don't be so surprised about it. In other words, just like going from the Zera to the baby, is a transformation, and it's something which happens. So too, the body coming back to life is something natural. So we should believe in that as well, and that's why this is an idea, and this is why the Gemara says Mikan Tshuva LaOmer in Tchias HaMesim from the Torah. This is a response to those who say there's no Tchias HaMesim from the Torah. There's no resurrection of the dead from the Torah. We're saying here that it's something which is totally natural.